Welcome to Faith in Corinth. This podcast is an extension of the Central Church located at 293 County Road 218 in Corinth, Mississippi. We hope and trust today's broadcast will bring you hope, encouragement, and insight from God's Word. And we ask you to like and share this podcast with those to whom you believe it will benefit. Again, thank you for joining us. Now, let's get into today's podcast. 2 Timothy chapter number 1 and verse number 5. Paul is writing to Timothy and says, "When I call to remembrance the unfinished faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, I am persuaded that in thee also." I want to talk to you for just a few minutes this morning on the subject, the generational influence of a mother. The generational influence of a mother. God bless you. You may be seated. The story goes that a young bride, while preparing a pot roast with her mother, noticed her mother cutting off the ends of the roast before cooking it. The young bride, curious, asked her mother why she did that, and the mother replied that she learned it from her own mother, who had learned it from her mother. The bride then questioned her grandmother, who explained that it was because she had a small oven and the roast didn't fit otherwise. This highlights how traditions can persist even when their original reasons are forgotten. It is amazing how much of an influence those that we look to can have in our life. The way the Lord speaks to me about a message usually is I get a thought and then I just start studying the thought. And so the other day, in preparing for this lesson, this service today, began to open my mind and heart to the Word of God and felt like the Lord gave me some direction. And so I started doing some research about the influence of a mother. And here is an article I read from the American College of Pediatricians that goes like this. And while I'm on the subject of pediatricians, I want to say thank you to all of our nurses and all of our teachers. Amen. We applaud you for a job well done that you do. But here's what the article says. Abraham Lincoln is famous for saying, "All that I am or hope to be, I owe to my mother, my angel mother." There were two women he called mother: his own angel mother, who died when Lincoln was 9 years old, and his stepmother, who also had a powerful, uplifting influence in his life. It wasn't prestige, wealth, or social prominence that caused the deep feeling of reverence and respect Abraham had for his mother's. Though uneducated and illiterate herself, his stepmother, Sarah Bush Johnston, helped nurture his love of reading. After marriage to Abraham's widower father, Thomas Lincoln, she turned their shabby dirt floor house into a home by immediately setting to work on arrangements for flooring and infusing hope into their lives. Abraham and Sarah shared a tight bond throughout her life. To him, she was the person who saw who he could become and ever encouraged his success. "All that I am or hope to be, I owe to my angel mother." These weren't casual, meaningless words for Abraham Lincoln, but the general feeling of love and appreciation for mother is, of course, not unique to the president. Studies consistently show that having a mother who is present, nurturing, concerned, and involved does a world of good in a young child's life. In 2012, a 2012 study from Washington University School of Medicine actually found that children who received warm maternal nurturing in early childhood ended to develop a larger, to all of our nurses, hippocampus. Some of you nurses are familiar with that word. I wasn't until I read this, which is the Learning, Memory, and Stress Response Center in the brain. A mother like this holds many jobs. She acts as a teacher, a comforter, a nurse, and a mediator. Her job requires an understanding of medicine, psychology, math, management, cooking, cleaning, interior design, exceptional leadership skills, and undying patience, to name a few. No mother is perfect, and this too can benefit a child as they learn to deal with struggles and imperfections in life. These things we do can leave a lasting impression on those who follow us. Things that we do can leave a lasting impression on those who follow us. David is commonly known to us as the giant killer, as he rose up in 1 Samuel against an adversary that he only viewed as an uncircumcised Philistine. He never saw Goliath as a giant. David recognized who he was. He knew, we are the children of the Most High God. And there is no adversary, that David believed, that could stand before us and conquer or defeat us. And on this persuasion he stood. On this confidence he stood, that nothing will be able to defeat us because of who we are. And so he went and fought Goliath, not with the things that the king tried to give him. He went with his slingshot and 5 smooth stones. Goliath made all of his mockery remarks, but David was undeterred, and he killed Goliath on that day. From his moment of courage and people that looked to him, there arose yet another generation of giant killers that we read about in the Word of God. It was because of the courage and influence that David had on those who were under them. I remind you again that the things that we do can leave a lasting impression on those who follow us. We read the miraculous story in the Word of God in the New Testament of the woman who had no hope of life according to the doctors. The Bible said that the doctors had told her, there is nothing further we can do. Her only hope was that if she could touch the hem of Jesus' garment, there was some faith left inside of her that said, I will be healed. If I can press through the crowd in my broken and weary body, I can be healed if I touch the Master's garment. And there, as the crowd was thronging him, she pressed her way through the multitude and stretched out that feeble hand and touched the hem of Jesus' garment. And just as she spoke and believed, so it happened. Virtue came out of Jesus into her body, and from that moment she was healed. When you read a few chapters later, we find out that she was not the only lady or the only person who touched the hem of Jesus' garment in the hope and expectation of being healed. Because when you travel to another city, her response of faith had now traveled to other areas. And those that heard about the story said, if it can happen for her, I believe it can happen for me. And they as well touched the hem of Jesus' garment, and they were made whole. I remind every mom in this house today, and fathers alike, I remind every leader in this house today, that what you do really does matter and can have a lasting impact on those who watch and admire you. Amen. The generational influence of a mother. There is a particular lady we read about in the Word of God who, our first introduction of her, is not one of great things. She had a bad reputation. She was a harlot. She was a prostitute. But there were some Israeli spies that were coming to spy out the land of Jericho. Rahab welcomes these spies into her home. She knows and realizes, we've heard about you, and we know that your God is going to destroy us. But Rahab showed kindness to the spies. They eventually left. The men of the city came and said, we know that the men were here, or before they actually leave Rahab's house, she hides them, and the men of the city come and says, we know they're here. She says, well, they were, but they've already gone. But if you leave right now, you'll be able to catch them. And so they leave in a mad rush. She brings them out from hiding. And then the word is spoken to her that everybody in your home that is here will be safe when God brings judgment against Jericho. This lady ends up being a part of the lineage of Jesus Christ. A woman who was not a Jew. A woman who lived a life of harlotry and of prostitution. Because of a decision one day that I want to follow your God. I want him to be my Savior. It made a lasting impression on generations that would follow her. And as I said, she became a part of the lineage of Jesus Christ. There's also another lady that we read about in the scripture who from undesirable circumstances also became a lady that was in the lineage of Jesus. We know her by the name of Ruth. A Moab. It wasn't until Naomi and her husband came to the land because of the famine that they were living in. They brought their boys. The boys marry a couple of ladies. One which was Ruth. And the boys die. Her husband dies. Naomi is left alone with these two ladies that were her daughters-in-law. She goes and says, I'm going back home. You ladies stay here in your homeland. But Ruth said, absolutely not. Where you go is where I'm going to go. Your God is going to be my God. And where you're buried is where I'm going to be buried. I won't tell the whole story of Ruth, but we know she ends up marrying Boaz, the owner of the field that she was once gleaning from. Here, a woman that should not have been, by all circumstances, a part of the lineage of Jesus, but a lady who one day made a decision. Naomi, your God is going to be my God. And she followed wholly after the Lord. And because of her decision, it influenced generations to come after her. Not just her sons, not just her daughters, but grandchildren and great-grandchildren and many other generations to follow. Hallelujah. You see, the hand that rocks the cradle has the ability, amen, to make tremendous impacts on that child. Let me say that again, that the hand that rocks the cradle has the ability to make a tremendous impact on that child. Or in the case of Moses, the hand that rocked the ark has the ability to influence the child. Again, time will not permit to go through the whole story of Moses, but we know that when he was born, it was at a time that all the Hebrew boys were to be put to death. But his mother, amen, decided we're going to hide him there in this little river. We're going to make a little ark for him and we'll try to keep him safe. And the Pharaoh's daughter came down to bathe one day and heard the weeping cries of a baby. She was drawn to where Moses was. And guess what? Moses' sister was there and thought very quickly and said, should I find a Hebrew lady to tend to the child and take care of him and to raise him? Pharaoh's daughter said, that sounds like a good idea. Who do you think that sister of Moses went to? She went to her own mother, which was also Moses' mother. And through that process, Moses' mother was able to train Moses in the ways and in the word of God. Amen. Moses, amen, grew up realizing, amen, that Pharaoh's daughter is not my mama. I know who my real mother is. That's why the writer of Hebrews made these statements concerning him. In Hebrews chapter 11, verses 22 through 28, by faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child and that they were not afraid of the king's command. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer the affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. Verse number 27 says, by faith, he, talking about Moses, forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Verse 28 says, through faith, Moses kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. But I want us, our preachers, to notice something about verse number 27 and 28. The Bible says, by faith he, Moses, forsook Egypt. And through faith, Moses kept the Passover. I want to tell our preachers to something today. You can't just tell everybody else what to do. You got to make sure you're living it. Let me say that again. You can't just warn everybody else about how to stay away from sin. You better make sure you're staying away from sin. You better make sure you've got the blood applied to your life and not just telling everybody else how or what to live. Amen. But I think it's easy to say that Moses' mother made an impact on his life. Moms, you make a difference. You make a difference. Good or bad, and I'm not here this morning to focus on the evil mothers that we can read about in the Word of God, that through their evil life and lifestyle was also passed generation to generation. I want to encourage those of you that have a desire to please God, that face sometimes rough and rocky roads. I want to encourage you to keep on believing, keep on worshiping. I loved what I saw, Sister Brooklyn, and having Marshall in the first service in church. I loved seeing her in the altar, worshiping, praising God with her baby in her arms. Hallelujah. The road sometimes gets rocky. The road sometimes is uneasy, but moms, hang in there. Keep letting your babies see you pray, not just so they can see you, but let them hear your heartbeat calling out to God, because moms, you are going to make a difference in the child of your child's life. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. I wish to draw your attention to another young man in the scriptures. His name is Timothy. We first read of Timothy's family in Acts chapter number 16, where Luke, the writer of Acts, made these statements. Then came he to Derbe, talking about Paul coming to Derbe and Lystra. And behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus, the son of a certain woman, which was a Jewess and believed. But his father was a Greek, which was well reported of by the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium. Notice what it says, that his father was a Greek. In 2 Timothy chapter number 1, verses 5 through 7, this is Paul's address to Timothy, and says, when I call to remembrance the unfinished faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, I am persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. As I stated a moment ago, Luke is the writer of the book of Acts. But it is clear, because of some things that Paul stated, amen, Paul, who penned the letters to Timothy, was much better acquainted with Timothy and his family, because Luke only just referenced that he had a mother that was a believer, but Paul spoke her name and also knew Timothy's grandmother's name. Praise God. So Paul was much better acquainted with Timothy than was Luke. Amen. Paul even declares Timothy as his son in the gospel. But I want to call your attention to something that Luke pointed out. It says about Timothy's father that he was a Greek or an unbeliever. Timothy's father was an unbeliever. Therefore, Timothy's roots in his relationship with God was not planted by his father, but by the godly influence of the two ladies in his life, his grandmother and his mother. Yes, Paul took Timothy under his wing and built upon the foundation of his faith, but the foundation was laid by these important ladies in his life. Paul wrote these words about his student Timothy in 2 Timothy 3:15, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Timothy was a great and tremendous evangelist who traveled many places teaching the gospel, strengthening churches, and even pastored the church in Ephesus. But notice what Paul pointed out. He said, from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. Sadly, he did not get that from his father, who was an unbeliever. Amen. But Timothy got this foundation of faith and knowing the Word of God from the love and the devotion and the faith and the influence of his mother and grandmother. Amen. Probably none of these great accomplishments would have happened had not a God-fearing mom and grandmother not instilled a love for God and his word into Timothy. But because mom and grandma had an influence in his life and said, son, we're going to open up the scripture to you, what we know as the Old Testament writings. We're going to open up the word of God to you. We're going to develop a love for it inside of you for the word of God and the things of God. And because of mom's influence and grandmother's influence, it affected generations after them. Amen. No doubt his grandmother was the first to believe and to be converted. But when that grandmother, amen, was repented and baptized in Jesus' name, and God filled her with the Holy Ghost, it set out a precedent that would last for generations to come. Mom, let me tell you yet again, what you do matters. Make sure you're a mom of prayer. Make sure you're a mom of faithfulness. Make sure you're a mom that loves the Word of God and the things of God and are submitted to the Word of God. You see, I'm not going to judge you on Judgment Day. The Word is what's going to judge you. Mom, what you do matters. How you spend your time is going to have an influence on your kids. What you devote yourself to is going to have a lasting impression on your children. Some of you have likes and dislikes today because of the influences in your life. There's things that to this day I still do purposely, because I'll never forget it. 114 Harris Circle one day as a child. I don't know, I was probably still 10 years old or so. Guys in general usually don't leave the cleanest area around the bathroom sink. Somebody just got told off on. Water's left behind, toothpaste, whatever. But I'll never forget my mom telling me, when you finish brushing your teeth, would you please clean up around the sink? And I'm telling you, to this day, I purposely do it because I remember the counsel of my mother. And I'm telling you, almost without fail, every time I wipe up around the sink, I'm recalling the words of my mother. Would you please clean up your mess around the sink when you're finished? There are some men getting some revelation right now. There are some young men that are under guilt from their sins. But God has come to give you grace so that you can repent and go sin no more. And probably even some ladies too. But I digress. There's things that we do today because of likes or dislikes that we had from influences in our lives. So moms, as we stand this morning, Sister Amanda, I'd like to, you want to, in the ladies' restroom, you get a chance to be baptized. And as soon as you're finished, you can come out and we're going to baptize you in the glorious name of Jesus. But moms, listen to me. I want you to do some self-inventory today. What things are you pushing to be most important in the life of your child? What things are you pushing to be most important in the life of your child? Now listen to me, because I know at Mother's Day we usually are thinking about moms that have young children. I don't care if your kids are old or young. What things are you pushing in front of your kids that you are telling them are most important in life? Is it sports? Is it the almighty dollar? Is it popularity? Is it hobbies? Is it college? None of which are evil if kept in proper perspective. But our kids must know the most important thing in life is the relationship with God. If I gain the whole world and lose my own soul, what has it profited me? But if we are pushing God's before them and trying to impress upon them that if you can reach this or excel in this, you have reached the ultimate. And I've come to tell you, sports is not the ultimate. The almighty dollar is not the ultimate. How many degrees after your name? And we've got many people in this house with degrees behind their name, and I thank God for that. But that should never be their God. And it should never be your God. Hobbies that we enjoy, golfing, hunting, thrift shopping, whatever the case is. There's nothing wrong with these things. But we've got to be careful that they do not become the most important things to us. Because whatever becomes most important to us is very likely will become most important to them. You've heard me say this before, but I make it a point, and I've got a past that I'm not proud of. But I want to be careful that I do not glorify my past more than I do my present. When you sit around and talk about your old drinking buddies, you ought not do that in front of your kids and grandkids and make it sound so spectacular. And you tell the stories of dumb things that you used to do and laugh and cut up about it. And boy, I'll tell you what, boy, we had some times, didn't we? When we were shooting up and snorting up and doping up and pilling up. And you make it sound so exciting to your kids. Guess what? Your kids are going to be drawn to that. But when you talk to them about, maybe I went to an altar back in 1989. As God was pulling on my heart, I almost literally ran to the altar. I buried my face in that altar. And God changed my life forever. I've never been the same since. And I am today, not because of college, not because, and I've got a degree, but not because of college, not because of anything else. Everything I have today, the wife I have today is because of Jesus. The beautiful kids that I have today are because of Jesus. And I think their life speaks for itself. And they're not perfect, but I think their life speaks for itself as a mom and of a mom and dad who love them enough to impress upon them the kingdom. You see, we made church fun. We made the things of God exciting. We didn't tell them, well, y'all better get dressed. We're going to have to go back to church tonight. We didn't do that. We didn't say, well, I guess y'all better go to camp or, you know. No, we made it fun and exciting. Because you know why we made it fun and exciting? Because it was fun and exciting to us. Here's what the Word says in Proverbs chapter 22 and verse number 6. Train up a child. Train up a child in the way he should go. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. The generational influence of a mother. Moms, I want you to realize The decisions you make today will not just affect you. They will affect generations that come after you. So that's why I would submit to you today, if you're not serious about living for God, if you've just been going through the motions, I submit to you today, get serious. Get serious. Make your mind up. I'm going to serve Him to the best of my ability. And when you come to church, don't sit like a knot on a log. Be involved. Worship God. Worship God. Respond to His presence. Our kids will become worshipers if we become worshipers. Our kids will learn to pray if they see and hear mom and dad pray. It's generational. It doesn't start and stop with you. It is going to have an impact on others. Moms, would you raise your hands today with your eyes closed? And would you pray, God, help me to make wise decisions. Help me to be mindful about the choices I make, the path that I take, the road I walk. I'm asking you to help me to use wisdom and understanding. I pray today, God, let there be a love for you that flows out of me that would impact those that I have influence over. I pray this now in Jesus' name. Come on, would we pray? Would you lift up your voice right now all across this congregation, moms and dads alike. Hallelujah. Single people, young people, kids, would you open your mouth and talk to Jesus right now? Hallelujah. This doesn't start just when you become a mom or a dad. It starts when you're a young person. It starts when you're a child. You start making godly consecrations and decisions that are going to form and shape your future and others that you will be involved with and their future as well. Hallelujah. Holy Ghost, help us. Holy Ghost, help us right now. In the name of Jesus, help us to walk in your path. Help us to walk in your path. I invite you this morning, all of you that will, amen, there's no pressure here today, but all of you that will, would you come? Let's pray. Gather around the altars and let's pray and let's talk to Jesus this morning. Hallelujah. Moms, I would tell you, one of the greatest gifts you can give to your children is for them to see you in the altar this morning. And listen to me, son or daughter, the greatest gift you can give to your mom is to let them see you in the altar this morning, praying and talking to Jesus. Come on, would you come? Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Come on, lift your voice and let's talk to Jesus right now.